This episode of the Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by WorldwideGolfShops.com. Be sure to go out to WorldwideGolfShops.com for all of your equipment, apparel, and accessory needs. They've even got training aids. They've got all the great stuff from all the brands that you hear on our podcast every week. So once again, that is WorldwideGolfShops.com.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more. And now, the owner and host of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, Adam Fonseca.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. This is the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and I'm your host, Adam from GolfUnfiltered.com. Follow us all over social media at Golf Unfiltered. You know you can send me an email, adam@golfandfiltered.com. And you can find us, of course, on the hackersparadise.com radio network. They have three podcasts on their network, including Off Course, hosted by Rob Miller and Dan Edwards, and Range Days, which is a great inside look at various pieces of equipment so that you get the most in-depth details possible before you make a purchasing decision. Today, folks, I'm actually really excited about this episode. Not that I'm not excited about the other ones, but this one, I actually got to sit down with a golf coach, and it was immediately following a golf lesson that I took with Scott Hogan. He is a local coach, a local coaching professional, and he teaches out of two locations here in the Chicagoland area, Inwood Golf Club in Joliet, Illinois, and then Stony Creek Golf Course in Oak Lawn. And that's where I actually was able to meet up with Scott over in Oak Lawn. And, you know, I had actually stumbled upon Scott on social media. I found his Instagram page. I found his YouTube channel. And I was looking for golf lessons. I know that there are many golf pros around the area. I've met with many of them before. They've each had their own little take on what was going on with my golf swing. And, you know, admittedly, I remembered a lot of different things. You know, I kind of take little bits and pieces from different golf pros, and I've quickly realized that jumping from one person to the next probably isn't the best way to improve my game, especially when I have multiple years between visits. That's probably not the best thing for me. So I wanted to kind of just reset everything. You know, I've been playing golf for about 25 years now, and I've got a pretty decent core, you know, as far as, you know, my baseline. You know, I'm down to a 6 handicap now, trending towards a 15, it feels like. And that was exactly what I told Scott when I looked him up. I said, Scott, you know, I need your help. I need just a refresher on a few things. I've never worked with Scott before, but I know based on what I watched in his YouTube videos on his channel, as well as on his social media accounts, I knew that he was a guy that could explain concepts for ailments that I knew I've already had. You know, that's the thing that was killing me. I knew what was wrong with my golf swing because I had seen it on video. I had other people tell me the same things year in and year out, and I've never been able to figure it out. But just a few short moments, few videos on Scott's YouTube channel, I was able to determine that he can explain things in a very down-to-earth manner. And he knows what he's talking about. And he's got the background to prove it. And so went, got a golf lesson, really saw some fast results, which I was very pleased with. And then we sat down to have a quick interview, just not only about how Scott approaches coaching, but also what got him into coaching, what he finds the most rewarding, and what he looks forward to every single day when he works not only with adults, but also with junior golfers. So after a quick word from our sponsors here in a second, we're going to be right back with Mr. Scott Hogan.
Today's episode is also brought to you by the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. No big hype, no big price, but definitely a big deal. Take advantage of their factory direct model where you cut out the middleman and get the best products shipped to your door direct from the company. They've got a demo program to try out their products before you buy, a trade-up program to get these clubs in your hands even quicker, and special financing where you can split your payment into four to make these clubs even more affordable. Go to benhogangolf.com to learn more.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. I am on location here at Stony Creek in Oak Lawn. It is a golf course I have never been to before, and I just got a fantastic lesson from my guy here, Scott Hogan. Scott, thanks so much for hopping on.
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for having me on.
So it's funny, you and I connected over social just a few days ago,
And, you know, I immediately was drawn to the content that you've already got out on YouTube. You've got your own channel out there. You've got a lot of social media content. Mm-hmm. Maybe for our listeners, before we get into it and before we get into the lesson today, how long have you been teaching golf? Where do you teach out of?
I've been teaching for, 16 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I started in college. I was working with people that were trying to pass the PAT. I went to Arizona State and they had a PGM program and they needed somebody to come out and help in like one of their classes, and I could play and do things. So I went and started teaching them.
Okay.
And that was on Fridays at like 7 a.m., which was brutal in college. But yeah. I started there. So I did that intermittently. I kind of got the bug for it a little bit, but I didn't take it too seriously. And then I became, my first job as a pro was at Fox Bend in Oswego, and yep. I started teaching there again, got drawn to it, and said, yo, I'm the best, I know what I'm doing, and blah, 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 and I look back at that, man, it was terrible, and then we talked about it now. I ended up going out to Superstition Mountain yep. in Arizona for the winter, and met up with an instructor named Mike Malasco, works with the Nicholas Academies and stuff.
Yep, good guy.
And he was extremely, I was extremely drawn to the way he taught. First off, he was a guy, he had a golf bag with tennis rackets, baseball bats, all this stuff in it, right? And I'm like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I just loved how he always tried to draw comparisons to other sports. And that just, for some reason, clicked with me. And I saw my game get better just talking with him. And then he talked to me about how this could actually work and how do you actually make a turn something that you love into something that turns into a career.
Right.
And how you know, he got me to understand that it's not just you know everything. The moment you know everything, the moment you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And so I go out and learn and try to get better and how to do that. So I was there for 3 years. I was the first assistant while I was there. So I was running the course and stuff too. But it was a great environment, lots of great instructors, lots of great players to be around, pick their brains. And it really kind of led to me coming back here to Chicago and saying, all right, I'm ready to start going on my own, because I felt like I had a good attitude about it that, you know, again, I'm always going to keep getting better. I'm going to keep learning and take every day as a learning experience. So here we are, coach, teaching lessons, run my own academy. And then I also am the head coach at a university at
nice.
Governor State. So kind of led to that too, so it's kind of nice to do both, and then like you said, do the social stuff too.
Yeah, and you know, you're doing a great job at it too, with not only the range of things that you cover mm-hmm. in your social content, but also clearly that comes across in your coaching. And I've only just spent an hour with you now, and I could tell, you know, we talked to a lot of coaches on this podcast in the past, and you're probably one of the first ones that really has made this connection right away to say, okay, what do you want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what do you want to see yourself do? You know, and I think that was something that I had heard from you right from the start. Is that an approach that you take with even, because you teach all ages.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think when it came to coaching, again, when I first started, it was like, oh, perfect swings, like mechanically sound, like I'm going to post this. I'm going to show everybody how good I am. When they go play somewhere else, they'll be like, oh, that's such a beautiful swing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more, you know, my dream, right? Because it's going to make me look good and all that stuff, right? And then you start realizing that it's more about, we're teaching human beings mm-hmm. and we're working with humans, from whether it's a kid all the way up to an adult. It's like you've got a big part of this working, where you go and actually play good on the golf course, is you've got to feel like, hey, yeah, that was it. I got what I wanted out of this. And what that does is build your self-image.
Mm-hmm.
I just always tell people, I was like, you're not going to see somebody on TV playing any sport, but especially golf, that thinks they're bad.
Yeah, right.
Right? You know, they're one day away from being the number one player in the world.
Right.
So it's we want to connect those things. Like, what do you think in your head you want to do and what you want to see? And because that's where you're going to go out and play, and you're going to be able to do those things. You're going to naturally drift towards those things, is what you want to see. Like we talked about trying to hit a fade, you know, if that's what you want to see,
right,
then you're going to always see that. And you're going to fight that. If you're like, oh no, you want to hit a draw, you're going to always fight that feeling that, yeah, I want to see a fade.
Yeah.
And that creates conflict. Your self-image goes down. Now you're not playing very good golf. So Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of knowing enough, having enough tools in the arrows, tools and arrows in the sling to be able to work with what you need. And, there's so many different ways to swing a golf club and be very good. We see that every day on TV that it's not about necessarily doing it 100% correct, like the correct quote unquote. It's all right, what's the way that works that combines with what you want?
I like what you said there with the internal conflict a little bit of players because, so I've been playing a long time and I know what I would like to see. And the fade is what you mentioned is something that I had mentioned to you, what I wanted to see with, and I hit a draw, but I could be hitting good golf shots, but I want to see a certain shape. When in fact, if I understand correctly and how you coach with others is, look, you can make this work for you. Just understand maybe it's a little bit of your expectations as to what you want to accomplish.
And I mean, there's limitations too, right? There's body limitations. If I say, hey, I want to go and swing at 130 miles an hour like Bryson DeChambeau or somebody, right? And go, well, better get to work and make sure things are where they need to be. But yeah, I mean, we've all played this enough. I've been there as a student myself in the past when I was playing, and it's like, you can't. The brain's a fickle thing. It just drives us nuts, and we have to work our way to what we gravitate towards naturally. And you can change things for sure, but I think a lot of times when you see people really struggle is they're trying to get to something that they either A can't do, or B they have no idea how that actually works, and they're trying to do. There's so many things that we could point out, but they're trying to get to this look or this, and they think they feel it, they see it, and they're like, oh, that look, that's got to be this. It's got to be this, and you realize, you know what? It's actually completely the opposite. And it's that makes this happen. So it's that's where I think coaching can be valuable from my standpoint is like, all right, I got to just make you feel it correctly to get what you, again, what you're kind of expecting. Or I got to be good enough to tell you, yeah, that ain't happening.
Well, that's part of it too, right? You have to tell people you aren't going to be able to accomplish that overnight. And it's interesting too, Scott, because once again, listeners, we're talking to Scott Hogan, professional golf coach here. So there's this concept or this dynamic between, I'm watching YouTube videos. You've probably heard this a million times. People go on YouTube and they try to fix their golf swing. You're someone that hosts a YouTube channel, gives very good advice, but what I like what you do and maybe what you don't do is get too prescriptive in your videos. And it goes back to what you just said, you still need coaching. And is that kind of something that you went into? Was that in your mind consciously?
I was somebody that at first, when I first made my first YouTube videos, that would have been almost 10 years ago, and I kind of stopped because I didn't like the idea of it at first. Because what exactly what you said, it's like, oh yeah, I'm like, I'm teaching somebody I don't know to do something that, they see on TV, and it's like, man, they're never going to do that, or they don't even need that, right? And it's too hard to do that. So as I went along, I started thinking about it. I really like the YouTube side comes from, other things. I have passions in like doing films, working with cameras and stuff like that, like that part. So that helps. I think we talked, my brothers are in it too. So it's like, I just like talking with them about it. But it really became a lot of fun because I started realizing I was connecting with people like yourself, where it's like, man, I'm getting to connect with a bunch of people in a bunch of different ways. And so it made me really want to do it. But yeah, when I look at videos, I try to stay, if I do get prescriptive ever, it's a very broad topic that I know is a common thing. And we're going to talk about there's always a couple different ways that something can happen. Like early extension, there's a couple of ways that can happen. You got to find the way that works for you. So if we ever do that, that's what we do. But I prefer to do it in a way where I think golf's a skill game. Your technique and your technical side of your game, that opens up the doors. That makes your possibilities better. But you still have to go hit shots. You still have to be able to perform and do some good things. And so we try to do a lot of drills of like, hey, when you're, I do a lot with in-home simulators and stuff and looking at gear and stuff. So it's like, hey, you've got this tool, you made this investment, you spent a couple thousand dollars on a launch monitor. all right, so what can you do with it?
Yeah.
What can you do? All right, try to learn how you can take a wedge and hit it these types of ways and see what you hit, how far it goes. And,
right.
You know, so stuff that's not too technical, but it's very, very valuable as from a practice standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And you mentioned ball launch monitors, and I know that you've got a lot of videos talking about ball launch monitors mm-hmm. on your channel. And one of the videos I watched prior to meeting you was, here are things that a ball launch monitor can't do for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was one of your more recent ones.
Yeah, and everybody freaked out.
Yeah, did they really? Did you get
some
feedback
on it? Yeah,
I got
a lot of comments about it.
What were that like?
Well, everybody's like, oh, you know, I still love it. You know, and it was a little bit on purpose because I had the second video to that, which was, all right, this is why it's the best thing you're ever going to get.
Right.
I had that already ready, and it was scheduled for like 2 hours later. Mm-hmm. I just kind of want to have a little fun with it. But, you know, you do have to be careful with that because it's a very real thing. I've been teaching indoors since I've been back at least. And I practiced indoors as a kid when I was in, you know, I grew up around here. So it was one of those things. It's like, all right, you're going to get a lot out of this. But there's a couple of things that you have to pay attention to. The beautiful part about a launch monitor inside is it's going to let you work on a ton of things. Mm-hmm. So the whole point is when we said, you know, the video is three things that you're not going to get, well, just go think about those things. And it was more like, hey, you're hitting off a perfect matte lie
right.
all the time. Well, when you're outside, you got to judge the lie. You know, you're working in an environment you're not where you can aim easily and, you know, things like that. It was very tough to come up with three.
Yeah, I believe it.
But it was, you know, it's just stuff like that. So it's like, hey, when you go outside, just make sure you pay attention to the grass and pay attention to where you're aiming because that stuff's easy to do inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, and I think it rang true to me because as someone who has not only watched YouTube videos, has a launch monitor, has tried to figure out my swing on my own, mm-hmm. When I come and see folks like yourself, you know, great coaches reminds me of, yeah, I still need that help, you know, from someone like you, you know.
Yeah.
And you're right, though. The video like that kind of helps level set someone's expectations to
right.
say, you know what, yeah, everything might be working for me right now
right.
in perfect conditions.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, golf's an imperfect game.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where, as my career's gone on, again, it's like, you know, I love the technical side of the swing and I love that. But that's under perfect conditions, under a perfect environment. And you just, you know, I've never thought of a game that is less perfect. You know,
yeah, right.
The tee box, maybe, if it's a flat tee box. But, you know, as soon as you get off the first tee, wherever you're at, it's balls above your feet, balls below your feet. You know, even if you're in the fairway, depending on how it's cut, it's like it could be a little bit, just a touch longer, and you get kind of these little half flyers out of it.
Right.
I mean, I think the whole point is, from an expectation standpoint, I think people try to master this game, mm-hmm. and it's not masterable. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. It's too hard. It's more about, can you enjoy the ride of what you can figure out? And that's where I try through the videos to try and portray that. Mm-hmm. And we've got some ideas to try to do that in the future as well, that it's, you know, if you can get into that, this is a journey and it's learning what you can do with the ball as opposed to, all right, I'm going to master this so I never have to think about it again.
Right.
You're going to get disappointed. And if you go with the ladder there and think about mastering it, because it's not going to happen. And then you're going to get mad and stuff. But if you're more open to the challenge and what everything that can be brought to you and how can you solve that one shot, I think it's a little more fun. It's a little bit more interesting. And I think you got a better chance of success.
You know, and on that point, too, obviously you teach a lot of juniors. Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit before we started recording about some experiences you've had with younger golfers where you have to kind of set those expectations for them. So what is kind of your philosophy with teaching youth?
So it's definitely, you got to break them into categories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we're doing like our camp settings, we're getting a lot of juniors that it's like, oh yeah, let's go try golf. A lot of people will think that, you know, the answer is, oh, if they get their technique better and they hit the ball better, like, oh, that's going to make them like it.
Mm.
Well, it actually can set them up for disappointment because they, like, if they hit a good shot, we were talking, it's like, you can hit a good shot. And then they realize, wait, that only got me to this point.
Right.
I'm still 300 yards away. And, you know, so you can scale the golf course and stuff to make that. But as we know, short game's the hardest part anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can shoot a million if you don't have a short game. And short game's, you know, a lot of experience. So what we try to do with those kids is we try to, you know, get them to, we want to change their expectation coming in is that golf is not fun. It's boring.
Yeah.
So we try to change that and we try to make it more action packed. So we do use like the launch monitors and stuff. And we'll, if you hit a shot, something's got to happen. And so, you know, Richard Frank, I can't talk juniors without plugging him because he's been such a big help for me. Sure. Richard Franklin and Discover Golf, they have these games and we've talked a ton where it's, all right, how can we make these games? And he does a great job designing and building them where you hit a shot and we're moving a piece on a board, or we're, oh, you know, something's getting destroyed, or, you know, yeah, some, a piece is popping out. There's a lot of that type of stuff. And a lot of people think that's gamey and it's like, nah, that's not very, you know, oh, they're not going to get any better. I challenge anybody to come out and play by the rules we put these kids at,
yeah,
these beginner kids. We put them through the ringer, and it's amazing how they can pull it off. It's like, all right, you know, you'll get a kid that's been in, you know, they're on day three of their camp. It's like, all right, if you want to just, you know, there's a game where it's called Lunar Landing where you have spaceships. It's like, all right, you got to land a ball at between 59 and 62 yards.
Oh, wow.
You got to do it, and you get to explode their ship, and they got to go back to the start. And all of a sudden, you're like, this kid flies it, and he hits it like 58. You're like, this kid just landed within a yard of his 3-yard window, and he's on his day three. I mean, we're putting them through the ringer. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's that group. And then, you know, when they get into more of the they like it and they want to compete, which I work a lot with them, the thing I learned is that we've got to put the expectation back onto them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are the ultimate controller of if they're going to be good or not.
Right.
I can give them everything in the world, but if they don't want to be good, they're not going to be good. Mm. So we try to show them what that is. And it's not necessarily, hey, you got to hit the ball 300 yards or 350 yards or whatever, because there's a lot of kids that can do that now that shoot 100.
Right.
It's, you know, do you take ownership in going to practice? How many times are you practicing? Do you take ownership in practicing and making your practice challenging? Or are you just going out there for the show and saying, yeah, I went and practiced? Mm-hmm. We try to teach them that way. So we get on them in a different way. We get more into about how they're going about it, the process they're taking. And, you know, we want good shots and things like that. We'll work with them on their swings and that stuff. But that stuff, as you know, and I know, it can change so differently from day to day. And a kid can be pretty volatile emotionally, let's just say that.
Sure.
You know, so it just, they can get down on themselves and get high on themselves pretty quick. So we try to keep them away from like, oh, I hit it good today, that means I'm awesome. Or I hit it bad today, that means I'm terrible. No, yeah. It's all about what did you do. You know, you can go have the best practice session, but if you don't take the necessary steps to, hey, write down what you did, track it, do that, then it was for nothing. So yeah, we get on them in a different way. We set that expectation for them with that stuff.
That's actually really good to hear, because, I mean, I know, just even speaking for myself, I mean, you know, you play, you wait maybe all week to get out to the course, and you play, and you don't play well.
Yeah.
And then you almost sometimes feel, at least I do, wow, that was a complete waste.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow, now I feel awful, my day's ruined,
right,
and all that. But it's good that you kind of get out in front of that with the kids.
Well, and it's you got to realize it's a hard game.
Yeah.
It's a hard game. Anybody that you ever listen to talk, you know, it's that the way you get good is you play it a lot.
Yeah.
You have to play it a lot and you have to be engaged in what you're doing. So again, we got to get kids engaged into it and say, yeah, this is worth my time to try and do it. And then from there, we got to keep them engaged and realize that, you know what, you're going to have ups and downs and it's not about the end game. It's about the journey you're on. And if you take that journey, and if you're on the, I think that's just something we see a little bit too much in general for kids, is it's about that end result. Mm-hmm. And that comes from a bunch of different areas in their lives where it's you're judged all about that final product.
Yeah.
You know, you get a test score or something like that. And that's, I don't know if that's how I think that's going to be the best for them, if that's always how they're thinking.
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know, that you got to think, hey, it's about the journey and let's enjoy it and let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, and that's an important lesson for someone of any age.
Exactly. Me too. I'm 100% that way.
Yeah.
So
once again, listeners, we're talking to Mr. Scott Hogan. ScottHoganGolf.com,
yep,
I believe, is the website. Where else can we find you on the internet?
Instagram, Scott Hogan Golf, YouTube, Scott Hogan Golf. And, you know, I encourage people. I'm always trying to make videos and content, you know, that people want to hear. So I encourage you to people to reach out, give me suggestions, whatever they want to. I'm into trying to help people. Again, it's important to me to do it because it lets me get a wider reach, more people.
Sure.
And and help people enjoy the game. If more people enjoy the game in general, then I whether it's me helping them or anybody, I think that's good for the game and that's good for me too. But I just, it's a game that's given me a lot. I feel a lot has come from this.
Sure.
So I'd like to share that with people. So yeah, feel free to reach out and contact me there, or they can go to a website and check it out too.
Awesome. Awesome. And I have to say, listeners, too, take it from me. I had a great first lesson with Scott. I have a feeling that I'm going to be in touch with Scott again in the future here. Okay. I've got some stuff to work on, and I immediately saw results just with a few minutes, really. And it's just a matter of perfecting that now. So, Scott, thanks so much for taking some time to meet and being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.